Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen, for joining us today. This is Dr. Youngblood. We welcome you on board another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues. And may I remind us, as we face the issues, we do so based on the authority of Scripture. It is a difficult thing, as I watch so often some debating issues or debating different so-called problems, and to do so based on theoretical, philosophical, fundamental foundations that's found in some dogma, some creed, some ideological philosophies, rather than based on the truth. And the Word of God is the truth. Jesus said that himself when he said in John 17:17, "Thy word is truth." My focus each day on this broadcast is to try to get you, our listener, to understand that we need to face issues based on God's Word, the authority of Scripture. It's not a matter of a denominational dogma, some rites, rituals, rules, or regulations. But what does the Scripture say? In fact, Jesus taught his disciples that when he said, "If you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." It's not a matter of, say, some have paraphrased that text. They've simply said, "The truth shall make you free." Yes, sirree, that is correct. If you continue in my word, Jesus says. That's the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant word of God. And may I remind us, ladies and gentlemen, the Scripture is very, very clear when it says, "Be not deceived, God is not mocked. Whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap." And if we reap to the whirlwind, reap to the wind, we're going to sow to the wind, we're going to reap the whirlwind, if I can get that right. We have a major problem today in our society with sowing to the wind, not with the recognition of finding out, discovering what's going to happen in the future to our nation. Ladies and gentlemen, I believe that America is at the very serious point of a fork in the road. Some use the term a crossroad, but it makes more sense to refer to it as a fork in the road, where we come to a place where we go left or right in society. We'll either take the right fork of the road or the left fork in the road. And I believe, ladies and gentlemen, the left fork in the road will lead America to ultimate demise and destruction. But ladies and gentlemen, God's word is absolutely sure. It stands regardless of what the pundits may say, regardless of what the politicians or philosophers may say. It is absolutely true, as I said a moment ago, when we as the people, we as a nation, we as individuals, we as a family, we as a state, when we reap, when we sow to the wind, the Bible warns that we're going to reap the whirlwind. And ladies and gentlemen, I believe that in the past 50 years plus, I believe we as a nation, we've sown to the wind. For in the past 50 years, we have seen in the realm of morals, the sowing to the wind, in the realm of pot and promiscuity, sodomite agenda, and I could go on and on and on. The morals have absolutely decayed and declined in the past 50 to 60 years in America. We have watched our nation in its educational process through our colleges and our universities all turned liberal. They are bastions of brainwashing and not of educational process for our youth today. We've watched our sowing to the wind today in the past 50 years, not only in morals and education, but also with spiritual truth. We watched the social gospel come to the forefront. We've seen the easy believism come to the forefront. We've seen the false teachers, the false preachers out there, just as one recently talking about, we need to unhitch from the Old Testament. We need to believe science more than believing the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant word of God. When that same individual, Andy Stanley, now says that we can discount not just all of the Old Testament, but we can discount the reality and the viability of the Ten Commandments today. Ladies and gentlemen, we have a major, major problem when it comes to spiritual truth today. Multitudes, perhaps you're listening today, and you're following a preacher, a guru, a Dr. Divine, Dr. Johnny Come Lately, as I call it, and you do so because of his unusual things that he says. This is the year of God's prosperity for you, et cetera, et cetera. That is simply untrue. We have a social agenda today, and the focus has been on feminism, homosexuality, the Me Too movement, racism, socialism, and the division of our society. And that divide is on the basis of the many times the federal policies that are designed to destroy our constitutional republic. And may I simply hasten to say to you, we're talking about today, don't be deceived. God is not mocked. And yet somehow, some way, even as Americans, we think that we can mock God, divorce ourselves from God, disavow God, and dispute God's word, and somehow, some way, expect God to bless our nation. Perhaps you recall, ladies and gentlemen, that during the Obama years, the Democrats had no problem with all of his records being sealed, his records in high school, his records of college and university. All of those things were sealed, but it was okay. The Democrats said that it didn't matter about his high school record or his college records, et cetera, et cetera. But now with Judge Kavanaugh, they're saying even going back beyond his high school and his college, but going back even to the teen years and his sophomore and junior in high school and then even into the college years, they're saying that somehow, some way, that makes a vast difference. And we need to judge him based on that. Ladies and gentlemen, today, we continue to watch the shame, the disgrace, and the horror as the socialist Democrats are destroying Judge Brett Kavanaugh. The accusations are set up by none less than the witnesses of Belial, as it is called in the scripture, when Ahab and Jezebel had liars, witnesses set up in order to put Naboth to death to steal his little vineyard that the king wanted so badly, and Naboth refused to sell it to him. But ladies and gentlemen, we're finding the witnesses Belial today. There are no foundations, only wild accusations. And the accuser, the key one that's come forth, the accuser cannot remember the date, the place, the house, the year, the event, cannot remember the boys, cannot recall how she got there, how she got home. But yes, she distinctly remembers that she had only one beer. May I remind us, ladies and gentlemen, we're watching this, the disintegration of our constitutional republic. We've sown to the wind. We're now reaping the whirlwind. Ladies and gentlemen, we have a guest today that I'd like to introduce you to and allow us to have a dialogue and discussion. And let me remind you, ladies and gentlemen, as we have this dialogue and discussion today, feel free to dial 401-1413, 904-401-1413. Get you right through to the studio and to our microphones that we can have this discussion together. Ladies and gentlemen, we welcome to the microphone today Daryl Kane. Daryl, tell our listeners something about yourself, your passion for what you're doing, and what your thoughts are about what's happening in America today with the political system, the social system, and with our spiritual system today.
Hey, Dr. Youngblood, it is so great to hear your voice. God bless you and for everything that you're doing, your beautiful message. I am just out there doing what I can to mobilize people to push back on this stuff. As we know, and you did a great job expressing this in your opening monologue, the satanic left is about inverting our world, okay? It's about turning it directly upside down, and certainly, I think, dismantling the patriarchy, which is a fundamental part of God's design for our world, is at the top of that very list. With victim feminism, of course, you know, it's one of, if not their most sacred cows. And this, like all the others, are pushed on us as an equality movement. But, you know, of course, any equality movement that fails to define endpoints inevitably becomes a supremacy movement. And this is really the best example of that, because feminism seeks to give women endless power while removing all of their responsibilities. Okay, so like on the topic of unborn life, not only have we made them the sole judge, juror, and executioner without any input from the father, but we've also gone out of our way to make it possible for them to raise the child without any of the father's input as well. Okay. So working with the father, you know, i.e. forming a functional family, obviously the basic staple of any functional society, this has been reduced from our gold standard to sort of one of many options. And, you know, the most common of which now is really sort of forcefully removing the father from the household while forcing him at gunpoint to bankroll the new single parent household. And, you know, this sort of stuff is deeply destructive. And as you know, as well as I know, this is nothing new. It's getting a lot of attention now. And I think this is good because maybe we're approaching a tipping point. You've got a couple years on me, so maybe you can tell me when this started, but I can certainly tell you it's been around as long as I've known up from down. And, you know, the left is so good at narrative control that, you know, in spite of the fact that they've been pushing this on us for decades, until really just a couple years ago, you would have been hard pressed to find any conservative voices willing to push back on it. So I know Trump spoke a few words yesterday, and I think that was definitely a positive step, but this is really the tip of the iceberg, you know, and it's a tough topic for men to push back on this. I think it's nice that we have people like, you know, the Michelle Malkins and the Ann Coulters that are firebrands that are willing to stand up for us. We've got to, you know, sort of learn to stand up for ourselves too. Because sort of the dynamic that this is in is, and don't get me wrong, this sort of plays on our inherent chivalry as men, you know, and that we have a basic desire to protect women. And that's in fact, that's a very good thing. And don't get me wrong. But, you know, it makes it uncomfortable for us to talk openly about a blatant legal bias that's been applied across the board, you know.
Darrell, what has taken place, and if I can interrupt for just a moment with your train of thought there, what has taken place for the past 50 years, and I'm using 50 years as kind of a hypothetical, arbitrary, and capricious time frame, but for the past 50 years, we've watched, for example, the networking with the sodomites, we've watched the networking with the feminist movement, we watched the networking with the social justice movement, and all of these have been networking. They have accepted what I am calling incremental victories, the little small victory here, small victory there. What we're watching today, and you termed it as the tipping point, and really it's what I call the drawing of the net. We've watched down through the years nonchalantly into the side, and as you said, without confronting it, we watched as they have networked across the nation in their incrementalism, and now we're watching them draw the net, and it is indeed the tipping point. It is indeed where we're now beginning to watch the we've sown to the wind, now we're reaping the whirlwind, and that's very biblical, and the scripture is very, very clear in Matthew chapter 12, verse 25, that a nation divided cannot stand, a house divided cannot stand, and we're watching the implosion of the nation and the implosion of our house, the implosion of a constitutional republic. And I look at it and go back to the Gibbons writing on the rise and the fall of an empire, and it's where he had written about the fall of the Roman Empire, and it did not fall as a result of outside intervention, but as a result of internal combustion, if you will, that caused it to implode. And it's because at that juncture, there was a focus on pleasure, a focus on homosexuality, a focus on less and less work and more pleasure, a focus on wanting things free. And that's where what we're finding today as the crescendo and the apex of our decline of our nation today. And all of these things that we're seeing with the Me Too movement, the social justice movement, the easy believism, the Joel Osteenism, and the preaching, and the false teachers and the false prophets out there that's proliferating in society. By the way, when you look at Matthew 24, the very first sign of the last days is false preaching, false prophets, false Christ, those that are coming on the scene. But you're exactly right, and what we have been watching of late is the coming of the drawing of the net, where the head of the home, the man, God ordained that man be the head of the home, head of the church, head of government, and we have watched that crumble to the point today that when you have someone with like Christine Blasey Ford that stands and blatantly lies, blatantly, and I've got the documents to show that. It's not just hypothetical and theoretical on my part. She is a blatant liar, and yet because the Republicans, wanted to show, as you used the term correctly, chivalry, they were petrified to confront her in her deception. And so we're watching the left, the socialist left, undermine and tear down and destroy the warp and the woof of our society today.
Yeah, I mean, I completely agree. And you opened by talking about, you know, a fork in the road, and that's certainly true. You know, I think you could argue almost that we passed the fork in the road a long time ago, and we went the wrong direction. So the question now is, do we keep moving forward over this cliff, or are we going to turn back? And, you know, to me, even on this confirmation, and of course, I mean, it is supremely important that this guy get confirmed. But to me, it's almost the lesser question. The lesser question is not whether or not, you know, this effort is going to work. But the question is, have we actually had enough as a society to where we're going to actually start taking meaningful steps to dismantle this stuff? You know, I mean, I think it's time to start talking about, for example, whether or not we want specific, you know, how we have these sort of goofy hate crime laws. Well, maybe we need to have some specific laws to target false allegations and hoax crimes. You know, I would say, considering it's one of the Ten Commandments, I'd say it's probably a pretty important thing that we protect against this stuff. And I think a good starting point for the penalty should be the equivalent penalty as the accused might face, you know, perhaps with something additional tacked on. I think this is a good starting point for cases which are demonstrably proven false. Now, you know, mind you, there's always going to be some cases with these allegations where, you know, okay, you really can't tell. But there are cases where it's demonstrably false. And there needs to be penalties in place. And we need to start educating our young men about the stuff as well so that they're prepared to confront this stuff. And you're absolutely right about a lot of these wishy-washy ideologies that we have. You know, the biggest thing is, I mean, these kids, they're out buying books and listening to things. And, you know, it basically comes down to, like, write down your dream on a piece of paper and then, like, put it under your pillow and think about it at night. And, you know, write down on a piece of paper how much money you're worth to the world, and, you know, put it under your pillow and, you know, really wish for it. And, I mean, yeah, wishing is all well and good, but that's not how it works. You know, that's not how it works. So what happens is, you go, well, I put the piece of paper under my pillow and I'm not a millionaire, so I guess I better try something new. And then they go on to the next guru and they just cycle around all this meaningless psychobabble.
You have stated it so aptly and so correct, because that's what we're finding in much of the social gospel today and the prosperity gospel as it is found. Let's talk about just for a moment, Darrell, if you would. Ladies and gentlemen, you're tuned in to Let's Face the Issues. This is Dr. Youngblood. We're interviewing today Darrell Cain. Darrell has been on the road across the nation talking with people and soliciting people to get involved in the process, the political process. And as Christians, we need to be salt and light. We need to be involved. We need to take a stand, and we need to be, as I tell people, we need to stand up, speak up, be heard, be seen, come out of the closet, be salt and light as God would have us to be. Darrell, I'm just going to go down a litany of things, and I'm talking about right now. We're going to make a transition a little later into the governorship of the state of Florida, because I think the state of Florida being a swing state, the November the 6th election for our governor of the state of Florida is perhaps one of the most important elections for the state of Florida, I believe, in the 21st century that we'll ever see. And I believe the midterm elections is the most important election in my lifetime. And so I'll state that very dogmatically. But when we think about what has happened with Judge Kavanaugh and watching the witnesses of Belial come forth, and Belial simply means witnesses of Satan, liars, if you will. But here's this Christine Blasey Ford. And let me just read you a list of things that I've just jotted down quickly in relationship to her stand and what she said. Some of these facts, some of the facts that have emerged, her 7-year live-in boyfriend says she cannot be, he's no longer there, of course, she's been married for several years, but he lived in with her 7 years. He said she cannot be believed at all. She is a liar. His statement. Fact number two, the so-called need for the two front doors. I think that's laughable. She said she remodeled a house in 2012 because she needed two front doors because she felt claustrophobic because of what had happened back 36 years ago with supposedly Brett Kavanaugh. And she has two front doors. I've got a photograph, by the way, of her home. She, in fact, does have two front doors. And what she is not telling the general public is that those two front doors, according to the record that I have that is in my archives, she had the house remodeled. She has an apartment there that she rents out. She also has a professional office, both of which are illegal in the zoning code that her private residence is in. under the code for the building code for the state of California in that county. You're not to have a multiple family dwelling in their residence. You're not to have a professional office. She has both. And so that's the reason for that second front door. But she lied about that before the world, said she felt shut in. The fact number three, when we talk about those front doors, it was designed to allow, as I said, the people to come in for professional business that she runs there as a counselor, as a psychologist. Fact number four, she had the polygraph paid for by the Senator Feinstein's office, and yet she said she didn't know who paid for it or how it was paid for. Fact number five, Christine Blasey Ford teaches people how to prepare and pass a lie detector test. I find that laughable that she said that she had passed a lie detector test. She's not turned that over to the Senate Judiciary Committee at all. She's refused to do so. In fact, here's an article that says Christine Blasey Ford's ex-boyfriend says she helped friends prepare for potential polygraph test. And Senator Grassley said that he's alarmed by that and is going to have that investigated because she lied when she said she knew nothing about it and had never been trained or talked to anything about a lie detector test. Yet, in fact, number six, she said she is fearful of flying in an airplane to D.C., but yet in the past several months, according to the historic record, she's flown several times, 10, 12, 15 times, all over the nation and around the globe in what she's been doing. Fact number seven, Christine Blasey Ford's own school yearbook shows that she was very promiscuous and was prone to heavy drinking. And I'll not even read excerpts from her yearbook because it gets into almost a pornographic read.
Sounds like a real treat, huh?
It sounds like a treat, yes. But yet here's this dear woman that supposedly was petrified, frightened to death because this supposedly happened almost 40 years ago, and she remembers everything that took place with the exception of the date, the time, the place, the house, who was there, who was not there, and the four so-called witnesses have all denied anything to be true that she said. So now how do we take that? How should we, as our listeners today, how should we ingest those facts, and what should be the response that we should have as moral, ethical, sane people, including Christians in America? How should we respond? Should we say that we just are going to take her word against Brett Kavanaugh, have him destroyed, his life destroyed, his future destroyed, his family destroyed? What should we take away? What should be our takeaway in knowing those facts?
Yeah, I mean, and she was a real looker, too. I don't know if you've seen the picture of her from high school, but that's not helping her story either. Absolutely. And her story has turned out to be remarkably less accurate than I even originally anticipated, right? Because what the left really wants is they want an environment where if you've had any involvement with a woman in your past, that at any point in time, she has the ability to destroy your life. You know, and we have a basic question here of, you know, we know this stuff goes on and we know that it's not good. We're not condoning that. But we know that young people party, right? Young people oftentimes are going to parties and, you know, these sorts of drinking environments. And the question is this an inherent environment where men are raping women? You know, is this something that 20 or 30 years later we can dig into college parties and anything that occurred is a situation to where now we can destroy a guy's life? So I think very clearly her story is not adding up. And as I alluded to earlier, I think to me the next question is really what penalties should she face, right? What penalties should the people that have bankrolled her and given her this platform, what should they face?
Well, number one, as you say that, I think Dianne Feinstein's office and her entire staff ought to be fully investigated. And very frankly, I think there should be a penalty of being removed from the Senate as a result of what she's done. And I think the truth will ultimately come out on this. But in the meantime, it's going to destroy Judge Kavanaugh's life if we allow him not to be confirmed. But going back to some fundamental facts with this and thinking about what we're dealing with witnesses of Belial, as I've called it. And as a result of that, we have this woman that's come forward. And you touched on the basics that, well, we know that everybody at some point in time back in college or back in high school, et cetera, et cetera. And I can say this to the world. I never had parties like that, never involved in them, never taken a drink of alcoholic beverages of any kind. I don't know what it tastes like. Have never had a desire to do so. I grew up with a stepdad with an alcoholic, wanted to kill everybody in the family. He could just smell an alcoholic beverage and it'd go to it destroy his brain. And so I'm adamantly opposed to that. But here's my point on it, as we think about it, Daryl. What is taking place, we're putting every male, every child, male child, every boy, every young person, every man in a position of jeopardy that a female at some point 30, 40 years later can come forward and make a statement, a out-and-out purposeful lie and destroy that life unless it's, as you said, there's some firm penalties that must be set in place that the world will see, the nation will see. We won't stand for someone to come forth and destroy a life by lying. And it's purposeful because here's the bottom line. Here's the bottom line. The Democrats, the socialist Democrats, and by the way, the word socialism is simply communism light, L-I-T-E. And so when you see the socialist, right, democratic communist movement today, and by the way, that's exactly what it is. 57% of the Democratic Party admit to being socialist. But when you see that arising, what they're doing, they're taking and using what is called the scorched earth policy, the scorched earth theory, destroy anything in the path because the big A, abortion, is their focus. They will kill anybody, destroy anybody, ruin any reputation to prevent any potentiality of the legalization of abortion on demand to continue to escalate in America. That is the focus. That is the purpose. And they'll do anything to prevent it. In fact, the proof of that is that out of the 25 names that President Trump had on his list to choose from for a nominee for the Supreme Court, the Democrats had already said they'd reviewed the list. So they said, I don't care who he appoints, who he nominates, we're against any one of them. And that's what they're doing. It's the scorched earth policy. They want to destroy anything that stands in the way of what they're attempting to do to set the pace. They know that if this justice goes on the bench, that it will destroy the future of their judging or making legislation from the bench. Daryl, we've got a few minutes. Let's talk about for a moment, if we can make a quick transition into the governor's race for the state of Florida. We've got two men that's running. One man that is Ron DeSantis, that is a constitutionalist. He is a pro-Trump agenda person. He is a Christian. He is a man with integrity. He's a man with impeccable record. And we don't need to go into that record at this juncture, but simply make a transition to Andrew Gillum and the one that's running against him. The state of Florida, ladies and gentlemen, we have the option November the 6th, about 30-some-odd days from now, to make a decision whether we're going to put a socialist in as governor or if we're going to put a constitutionalist, Ron DeSantis, in that is a Republican conservative. Daryl, I don't know if you've studied the issues enough or if you have information that you want to discuss with our listeners about the two choices. What are the two choices? What will happen if Florida goes with a socialist governor? What will it bode for the future? What would the future hold? Where do we stand as citizens?
Yeah, well, it's certainly obviously very critical, you know, as you say, and we're at the point now where it has in fact become, you know, binary. We have choice A and we have choice B. And one thing that regardless of how you feel or how you felt during the Republican primaries, you know, we can count on the enemy to be pure evil. And, you know, to me, that's really all that you need to do to pull the lever for, you know, for our guy. And in this case, we do have a very stark contrast, as you've stated. And Florida is such a critical state, you know, being a fundamental swing state and so many important things going on in this state that we need that conservative leadership at the top. And to lose that, to move to a socialist Democrat governor would not just be catastrophic for the state of Florida, but it would have far-reaching ramifications for the rest of the country. So, there's a tremendous responsibility.
Major responsibility, serious responsibility for any citizen. Plus, as a Christian, we ought to vote. And ladies and gentlemen, let me just give you a quick rundown. Time won't allow us to go into detail for each of these, but I've outlined here multiple points in relationship to the reality of who this socialist is. His name is Andrew Gillum that's running. He is a proud socialist. He stands for free education for all, free medicine for all, no borders to secure our nation. Says he wants Florida to be a sanctuary state. He'll impose state income tax. He will increase the taxes by 40%. His words, not mine. He stands against the Trump agenda. Says that he will eliminate the Florida Stand Your Ground law. He is against the Second Amendment, the right to keep and bear arms. He's opposed to anything that will have to do with the Second Amendment or the Castle Doctrine in the state of Florida. He is funded by George Soros and the socialist Bernie Sanders. Gillum will cause major problems in the state of Florida if he goes into office. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm looking at a handful of articles that are very, very, very damaging and very, very concerning for me in relationship to Andrew Gillum. And ladies and gentlemen, I must warn you, we have just a few days before the vote, November the 6th. November the 6th will make the difference across America and for the state of Florida. Daryl, we've got about 30 seconds to go. Close this broadcast with a notice to our people, to our listeners, the need to be involved, the need to be salt and light, the need to vote.
Yeah, there's no middle ground with the left. You know, they don't have Jeff Flakes on their side, okay? They're all in on their agenda, and this guy has got to be stopped. I also want to speak out to my crusaders out there listening. Young men, it's time for you guys to get engaged on the issues and to step back into leadership roles in your community. We've got to build ourselves up. We've all been broken down by this thing. I don't care where you started. I want to know where you're going. I want to know what you're prepared to do today to get to that point. We've got to all get engaged. We've got to get going on this. God bless everyone, and thank you, Dr. Youngblood, for having me on once again.
Absolutely. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for joining us today. Looking forward to meeting you on the air even tomorrow, once again, as we face the issues.
You have been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, located just 1 mile south of I-295. You are invited to worship with them 9:30 a.m. Sunday for Bible study, 10:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship service, 7 p.m. Sunday evening worship service, or 7 p.m. Wednesday fellowship meal, Bible study, prayer, Bible Q&A, and updates on issues facing our city, state, and country. Tune in again for another Let's Face the Issues broadcast. Also tune in this same station Saturday mornings at 9 for expository Bible preaching by Dr. Youngblood. Remember, a rebroadcast of this program can be heard every evening, 9 p.m. on AM 1600 and 100.3 FM. Tune in and invite others to listen.